Sometimes we can be amazed at all the excitement and the amazement of when Christ was born. Of course, we know that the angels were active in making proclamation to the shepherds. We know that the wise men came from probably between 500 to 600 miles just to see the baby Jesus. We know that Simeon, for instance, and Anna in the book of Luke, how enamored they were with this little baby. And in order to understand that a little bit, we have to understand that the Messiah was going to come and be a very particular individual who was going to save people from their sin. And we look back at that account, and of course, just like those back in that time, most people ignored it. They did not necessarily see its significance. And Christians, of course, see the significance of this. Many people don't see the significance of it. This is just the holidays. This is time where you can exchange gifts and so forth. Well, I think it's important for us to understand that when Jesus came, this was a big deal, because in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, it describes what he was going to be like. Unto us a child is born. We made reference to this Sunday morning. Unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it, and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Now, I just want to take a few minutes before we pray tonight to just try to comprehend a little bit of what's going on here. The Bible tells us here that his name shall be called, and it goes on and lists these kind of things that would describe his character. And the first one is Wonderful. Now, if you were to look at some translations and you'd look at some commentaries, you'd see that they treat the word wonderful as an adjective. So a wonderful counselor. But I did want to say that not everybody agrees with that assessment. I have an article here by a fellow named Adam Bloomer who makes this statement. He says, many writers and scholars alike mistakenly treat the word wonderful as an adjective in Wonderful Counselor, with the comma deleted. Now, the reason they do that is because all the other characteristics are describing, for instance, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. But as this writer says, that actually in the original Hebrew, the word wonderful of Isaiah 9:6 stands alone as a noun. And this is why your King James translators translate it the way they do. And that's why they insert a comma. Now, either way doesn't in any way diminish the wonder of who Jesus is. But I did want to just focus on that word wonder for a moment, because actually the word is wonder. And I was looking at Young's commentary in Isaiah, the word wonderful is literally, he is a wonder. So you could say wonderful is that a person who is full of wonder. Now, what does that mean? That means somebody who is full of amazement. And you'll see that in the New Testament, the word wonder is used, and they'll talk about signs and wonders. And when somebody did a miracle, for instance, they would look at that, people looking at that miracle would go, wow, amazing. You know, if I were to somehow make Dave here in the front pew, and I all of a sudden said, okay, I want you to follow my hands, and he's following it, and I do this, and he starts lifting up, that'd wake you up. You'd look at that and go, whoa! And you would see that is a wonder. Everything about Jesus is wonderful. He is amazing. Even when he taught, the religious leader said, no man spake like that man spake. In Matthew chapter 7, it tells us there that he did not teach like the scribes and Pharisees. He taught as one having authority. And then, of course, when he would walk into a temple, for instance, in the book of Mark, you see he goes into this temple, and while he's there, somebody is speaking in a hysterical tone. They're crazy, and he casts out the demon, and people go, wow. He is amazing. When Jesus walked on water, you say, not everybody does that. And we should not be surprised when he dies, he walks out of the grave. That's amazing. The scripture tells us that Jesus is amazing. They say that familiarity, when we are around something that's familiar, we tend to take it for granted. And sometimes we hear about Jesus, you know, and the charismatics like to talk about Jesus, you know, and they use this little inflection of the voice to cause people to just think of him as, you know, this is something. Well, he is something. But we're not just making some noise when we talk about Jesus. So they travel 500 or 600 miles to find this baby who is born, because unto us is born this amazing Jesus. How do you read your Bible? What do you think about Jesus? Is the term so familiar to you that, oh yeah, this is Jesus? And of course, we know that the world talk about Jesus Christ. And they use the name of Jesus as if it was a curse word. But the Bible tells us that Jesus is amazing. And it's important for you and me to never become so familiar with terminologies that we lose sight of the fact that he is wonderful. Now, it tells us here he is counselor. Now, even if you take the word wonderful as an adjective, you'd see a wonderful counselor. And as a counselor, we know that he is somebody who is able to help us. If you look over, and let's just quickly look over chapter 28 and verse 29, Isaiah 28, verse 29, it says, this also cometh forth the Son, the Lord of hosts, which is wonderful in counsel, excellent in working. So the Lord is a wonderful counselor. He is somebody who is qualified to help us when we do not know what to do. And sometimes we just are so much in dilemma. What do I do? I don't know what to do. Now, the scripture tells us in Proverbs 11:14 that there is safety in a multitude of counselors. And that is true. We can go to other people and ask for their help. But Jesus Christ needs to be our primary counselor and our primary problem solver. He's the one that we should go to. And I'm not just saying that because that sounds like that would get an amen. And I thank you for the amen. But I'm saying that because He is the one who will solve my problems. And He's an amazing counselor. He is a counselor who's filled with wonder. And we come to Him and we bow our head and we say, "Now, Lord Jesus, help me. Give me wisdom in how to deal with my finances. Give me wisdom in how to deal with my health. Give me wisdom in how to deal with my finances. Give me wisdom as I deal with this person." And we come to Him and we say, He is a wonderful counselor. That's who those people were looking at when they saw that little baby. They see, the Isaiah 9:6 says, He is also called the Mighty God. Emmanuel, God with us. And Jesus is God. And I hope I don't need to prove that to you. We have mentioned that many, many times over the course of our ministry, showing that Jesus Christ is God. And the scripture here tells us that that person born is the Mighty God. He is God. And as God, as Yahweh, is very, very strong. Literally, the word that is used for mighty there is hero. He's a heroic God. And He is the one that resolves all our problems. Kind of like David and Goliath. David became the hero because nobody wanted to deal with that big goon called Goliath, and David walks in there and boom, 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 knocks that giant down and kills him. Said, "What a hero!" Well, God is a hero. And without Christ, we will go to hell. He is the one who is the hero, the very powerful, mighty God. He thought it not robbery to be equal with God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and all things were made by Him. So, when we think of anybody that could literally create the world within a week, you say, that's pretty strong. And you can see the dilemma that the unbeliever would have. And they're looking at this baby, or they're looking at him as a young boy, or they're looking at him as even a young man. And yes, 30 is a young man. It seemed more young every year. But when they see him as a young man, I can see their dilemma scratching their heads. Okay, how can the creator of the world be walking amongst us? How can he have brothers and sisters? And they're confused over this whole issue. Well, the Bible teaches us that he, of course, being man, was able to represent man in dying for our sins. And even when he's on the cross, it would be easy to say, yeah, so much for his plans. But he is the mighty God. And if God can create the world in 6 days, and if Jesus can create the world in 6 days, then he is our hero. Amen. Who am I going to go to in time of need? And then he's described as the everlasting Father. Now that's a real dilemma for those who understand the Trinity. The Trinity is you've got God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and here we're told that God the Son is a Father. Now that does not in any way diminish from the fact that the God the Father is separate from God the Son, but Jesus Christ acts toward his people as a father should act toward his children. And as a father who is a good dad, you know, he's not just the man upstairs. He's God, but he acts as my father. He provides for us as a father who is a good father provides for his children. He's concerned for us just as a good father is concerned about his children. He disciplines us just as a good father will discipline their children. And throughout eternity, it tells us here, he is the everlasting Father. Throughout eternity. He is the one that will take care of you and me if we are his children. Are you his children? But as many as received him, to them became, gave him power to become the sons of God. So we are his children. There was a time in our life when we were the children of disobedience. See, one of the things that you know about unsaved people is their life is characterized by disobedience. That doesn't mean a Christian can't disobey, but a Christian doesn't make that his life habit. A true Christian is not someone who is described as a child of disobedience. I'm referring to Ephesians 2. Study that. First couple chapter and verses. You'll see in there that if we are children of God, he is an everlasting father to us. And then we're told he's the Prince of Peace. We won't go into that because we preached on that Sunday morning. And everything I said on Sunday morning is true about Jesus Christ. Many will cry, peace, peace. But there is no peace. They want tranquility in the world. Why don't people quit fighting? Well, because of sin. But as we mentioned Sunday morning, Jesus Christ brings peace with God for us. Reconciliation. And he can provide the peace of God for us in that there is tranquility in our souls. So here are these people coming from afar. And they look at this little baby. And they that he embodied all of these things. See, that's what Christmas is all about. You say, well, did he come on the 25th? Well, we could debate that, couldn't we? But we can be sure of this. He came. Amen. And he came to this earth as an amazement, as our counselor, as our mighty, heroic God, who is, as a father, he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest, because I am the Prince of Peace. Now, Lord, we ask that you would help us to never underestimate who Jesus is. The saying goes that familiarity breeds contempt. Now, Lord, may we not ever become so familiar with the name of Jesus in our life that we somehow minimize in any way who he is. And Lord, if there's somebody here this evening who is having a hard time seeing his significance, Lord, work in their heart. Maybe there's someone here tonight that they're needing help. Lord, help them to turn to the Lord Jesus. Maybe they are realizing how insignificant they are, that they cannot in any way deal with their problems. And yet, Lord, you're the mighty, heroic God. And thank you, Father, for sending Jesus, who is our everlasting Father, who is the Prince of Peace. And we'll praise you for what he does. Lord, may this drive all of us to the truth of who Jesus is. And it's in his name, and only through his name, we pray. Amen.